Creative Male Aging, a radio and internet project in which we explore and challenge many of the conventions around aging and look particularly at new options for today's older men. I'm Tony Ryan. Welcome to the program.
I get up, I can do things, I can work if I want to, I can still swim well. I don't jump out of aeroplanes anymore, but I used to. Did that for over 1,000 times. It's good to be physical, and if you sort of sit around in a lounge chair, you're just going to wind up glued to the lounge chair, but you've got to get out and do things. We ride road bikes. Start off, you think, ride 10 kilometres, you think you can do well, but now if you don't ride 50 kilometres, you don't think you're doing enough.
More from Port Lincoln-based John Payne later in the program. And John was a member of a group of men and women from Port Lincoln at the southern end of Eyre Peninsula in South Australia who took on a major challenge to get fit enough to travel to Africa and climb Mount Kilimanjaro. As you will know, it's a dormant volcanic mountain in Tanzania and the highest mountain on the African continent. For many of us at any age, that would be a significant event and call for a high level of fitness. But as we will hear, the average age of the members of this group when they actually did climb to the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro was 71. Before we hear more about the preparations for this adventure and the sense of achievement when later I met the group at Adelaide Airport on their return from Africa, here is South Australian-based psychotherapist, author and educator Dr. John Ashfield. He's reflecting on some of the options for travel and learning now available to older men and women in Australia.
There's some interesting trends happening amongst older people. Certainly the grey nomad phenomenon is still popular, people, you know, travelling around in Winnebagos and towing caravans around Australia. What we do know is that there's a growing trend now where people are taking cruises. There are different ways of taking cruises, and certainly what wouldn't interest me personally, and I suspect it wouldn't interest everybody else either, is the idea of the, you know, the beer and bingo cruise that's, you know, about razzmatazz, a sort of floating nightclub. And, you know, things that you could probably stay at home and do, to be honest, except that it's on the sea and perhaps a somewhat different social environment to what you have usually. But I think infinitely more interesting are the opportunities for older people now to actually experience life aboard a ship with a cruise line that's much more about taking them on a journey and an adventure where there's opportunity to be given information by tour guides and lecturers that are on board or taken ashore on tours of a kind that are not formally educative, but that are interesting and engaging. And I suppose differentiating tourists from travellers. I mean, tourists that, you know, quickly whiz through and pick up their mementos and they're able to say they've been there and done that. I'm thinking that these kind of cruise lines with some educational component are catering for travellers, people that are not wanting to use time for the sake of filling time, but are wanting to exploit time in ways that are helpful to their health, to keeping them mentally active, and to broadening their experience through adventurous travel.
Learning happens quite irrespective of age.
It does indeed. No one stops learning, and it would be nice to think that we can encourage older people to recognise that fact rather than, again, succumbing to the inevitability of decline in their latter years.
As you will have already gathered from earlier programmes, not succumbing to inevitable decline in later years and maintaining an appropriate level of fitness through exercise is a key theme in these 12 programmes. And taking on more than a sedentary cruise can be a major physical challenge in later years, and, as you would expect, this does mean close consultation with our general practitioner and other medical specialists. Here again is John Payne, when I first spoke with him and another team member, Wayne Gotch, in Port Lincoln before the group headed off to Africa.
I'm semi-retired and I'm a painter, so I do a fair bit of work. It's all physical. Main thing, sport, is squash. Played squash now for 40 years, hence the reason I'm in Arno Bay, because of the squash courts. I think squash has been something that's kept me alive, even in my younger days when I was burning the candle at both ends. because it's a very physical sport. I think the main thing, I suppose, is to be born healthy to start with. When you're young, you can knock yourself around a little bit. As you get older, you've got to start learning to work out what foods to eat and not overeat. And don't smoke. Definitely don't smoke.
John, you describe yourself as semi-retired. What does retirement mean to you?
Well, retirement is something where you're supposed to be able to not have to do things that you really don't want to do. And you can still go out and, in my case, be physical, whether it's riding bikes, paddling kayaks, or playing a squash. So I think it's a selection of having a decent lifestyle.
Fairly physical activities.
I like physical activities. For instance, on Sunday, we did a 3.5-hour walk up over a range. Come back, I played 4 games of squash, and then after that I played another 1.5 hours of squash.
I understand you've got a project in mind and you're getting some training for that. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, we're training with a group here in the peninsula in Port Lincoln to walk up Kilimanjaro. 12 or 13 is at the present. Plan to do that in 2nd of August. It should take us 2 weeks all up. And the age group is from 60 to 80.
Men and women?
Men and women, yes. It's just us two men so far, so we'll probably get nagged all the way up the mountain.
Thanks, John. That gives me a great opportunity to introduce Wayne. Wayne, why are you taking on something like this?
15 years ago, I was involved in a motor car accident, smashed the back around a bit, and then when I stopped work, retired, I found that the body was starting to lock up a bit. Had to give away golf because of the back. And sitting there one day, and I was reading the paper about this group that's getting together to get older people or aged people out and to be active, fit. So we joined that, and when we found out about the trip to Kilimanjaro, we thought, well, why not? We'll have a go at that as well. So we're training fairly hard, although I've come to a standstill at the moment with a couple of ops, but I'll get back into it in a couple of weeks' time.
That's quite a challenge.
We think it's a big challenge. Well, if I can prolong seizing up, as far as the body is concerned, then by being out there walking, we do gym, we do yoga and all that sort of stuff. So the more physical activity I'm doing, I'm finding the body is reacting to it. And the big plus, I suppose, is I gave up smoking, which is because I couldn't walk the distances.
Let's come back to the trip. What will be involved?
Walking, 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 climbing. 2 days from the time we leave here to get there, we'll have 10 days on the mountain itself. One more day back in the village when we come back down off the mountain, and we'll be going to a game reserve and then heading back home again. So it's not what you call a holiday, but we think it's a big challenge in life. It's the fourth largest mountain in the world, so we're going to have a go at it. The good thing about what I'm doing is my wife's going along as well. She's quite active, does a lot of walking. A little bit younger than what I am, but ironically, I turned 70 the morning we reached the peak.
Yeah, we leave Adelaide, we go to Perth, then we go to Johannesburg, and then we have another couple, 2 or 3 flights, which takes us up to Tanzania, and then to fly over to Kilimanjaro, to where you start for your climb then. I'm 72, and I'll just plan to do the trip up the mountain and back. My wife will actually turn 72 about a week after she comes back.
Is she in the trip as well?
She's on the trip as well. She also, luckily there, we're both very physical people, so we have the same interests. From everybody that we've spoken to, it's more of a challenge, and the altitude sickness is the biggest worry because it can affect you with all sorts of things. And it is more or less to prove that older people can get off their lounge chair and do something special. We're this pilot group that's going to do this, between 60 and 80, and probably prove to some doctors that they don't have to keep telling us that we're old. So that's going to be the challenge, to reach the top.
There are a few stereotypes around, aren't there, about older men being old, retiring. Do you fit into those stereotypes?
I don't think so. No, I try to, like I said, I try to put myself in a situation where if I'm working with younger people, I always say that I have to prove that I'm as fit and as good as them, but fortunately that's not difficult. Same on the squash courts, you can't keep up with the young people's reflexes, but you can certainly make their life a little bit difficult trying to put the ball in the right place.
I think you'd enjoy doing that.
Oh, you do, yes. You get on there. If you get beat, you get beat. But you sort of don't lay down because of your age. And it does. It does keep your joints, your muscles. It keeps you working. And like I said before, you sort of can't put too much of the wrong food in your body nowadays, and you get the results.
We've had fundraisers, raffles. We've produced calendars, which I'll go and get shown them. And when people look at it, they turn around and say, you're either mad or they're envious or good on you. So it's not how we perceive what we're doing. I think it's how other people perceive what we're doing. Like at the end of the day, our group, the average age when we reach the top would be 71. And we've had doctors tell some of our people, you're mad, don't do it. We've had one lady with a hip replacement. We've got another one that had two knees replaced. I've just gone through the same thing here, but I'm still going to go. And if I don't make it, then it's not from the lack of trying. So I think it's individual. Have the balls or the guts to do it, and you'll do it.
I think for older men, there is a need for them to learn how to very much advocate for their own health and well-being, particularly in dealing with doctors and the medical system. Now, I don't want to appear critical of general practitioners in particular, but I think that they, as with everybody else in our society, knowingly or not, subscribes to this idea of the inevitability of decrepitude and debilitation and decline in people who are in their latter years, in the afternoon of life. I think that's problematic, because I think in the way that medications are dispensed, in the kind of regimes of treatment or what might be suggested in terms of exercise, diet or anything else, can often be diluted as a result of this notion that, well, given that you're old, there's going to be some inevitability of decline, and so does it really matter? It's as if we've become superfluous and almost disposable because of older age. And I don't know that anybody is particularly to blame for that, but I think that that is operating out there in the medical system.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's not going to be a vacation to go up the mountain. And it is, it's going to be to prove to yourself that you can do it. You find that, like I said before, if you get an injury as an older person, some doctors say you're getting a bit old, you should back off. Luckily, my doctor doesn't say that. But if it's a young person that has the same injury, then he's going to be having a sports injury. You could be sitting in a surgery with exactly the same injuries. I get over all my injuries that I have, same as everybody else. I've had damaged ankles and so forth, knees, and treat them, and you get over them, and they're gone. You get on with whatever you're doing again. Mm-hmm. And hence, walking up this mountain's going to be a pretty fair sort of a challenge. And one of the benefits, I believe, is that older lungs operate a lot better within altitude than what a younger person can. So we've probably got a bit of an advantage that way. We hope so anyway.
Going on from what John was just saying, the trip that we're going on is designed specifically for people of our age. We're going to take 10 days. Normally it's done in 7 up to 9. By doing this, they're going to take us up 200, 300 metres, and at night time we'll come back down and camp. So we're virtually getting a chance to acclimatise, whereas a lot of them just go, bang, 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 walk. And the other one that John sort of highlighted a little bit there was when it comes to altitude sickness, it is the fittest, normally, person who breaks down first, because they try and rush it. And we've been instructed that we must take it steady, and we should survive on it.
Sounds good advice.
Mm. Well, we hope it is.
On the Community Radio Network around Australia, you're listening to Creative Male Ageing, a series of 12 programs in which we challenge the stereotypes and explore new options for today's older men. We've heard from Dr. John Ashfield, and also back in May 2014 from Wayne Gotch and John Payne in Port Lincoln. Well, early one morning in August 2014, I headed to Adelaide Airport, where I met up with the Port Lincoln group on their return from Africa.
My name is Christine Jettner.
And Christine, you were the organiser of this event. Why did you take on climbing Mount Kilimanjaro?
Well, I'm on the Health Advisory Council in Port Lincoln. And when I had a look at what programs were available for people between the ages of 60 and 80, there was nothing. So I had this brainwave of having a program of dietary, exercise and well-being program, including sports like dragon boating, paddling, all sorts of things. And I needed a carrot to get people to do something about it. And the idea was that you get fit enough to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is in Tanzania.
Many people, I would imagine, would say, good heavens, I can't do that.
That's exactly right. But we started off in a slow way and gradually built up to what we achieved just recently when we did the climb. And we had 8 summit, which was just amazing.
Tell me about the team, the group of people that went.
The group that went were well and truly bonded before we left because we'd been training for 18 months. And I think it's essential on a climb like we did to be well bonded because you need support. And we're the eldest group ever to have attempted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And in fact, we now hold the record of being the oldest to have achieved.
We had a planned walk of 7 days to climb up the mountain and allowed ourselves 2 days to come down. After day 2, we had to have 4 of our members unfortunately pull out on virtually day 3. They completed day 2. We had one with hypothermia, one lady who had 2 knee replacements. It turns out the track was real hard for her. We had one lady that fell over and finished up with concussion and another one who had an infection. So the turning point was what they call Shearer 2. There was a road came through from Moshi where we was able to put them onto a vehicle to get it out, even though it was a cattle truck. We got them out because after that, there was nearly either the point of no return or very, very arduous track to get them back down.
Mount Kilimanjaro is in Tanzania. It's the highest freestanding mountain in the world. It's just under 6,000 metres.
John, how old are you?
I'm 72, and my wife turned 72 in about 4 days' time.
And you've just climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
We have, yes. Yeah, we're very proud of it. Our guide said to us in the beginning, he was trying to explain to us how important it is, and he said that pain lasts for a short while, and pride lasts for a long while. It's difficult to explain how the climb, how hard it is, trying to explain it to somebody because you really got to be there doing it and to reach the top. And it's got to be a team thing. You've got to work together. You can't go rushing off ahead or wandering away. You've got to work together so that you can reach the top. Because if you try and get there too fast, if you've got an ego, you've got to leave that ego at home. You've got to go along with the rest of them. We had one lady there, she got the Stella Point. She's just walking past here now, actually. And she's 78, over 78. And she did extremely well. But it's just determination, hanging in there and making it to the top. Young people were flying past us and congratulating us. And then further we went up the mountain, we found these young people sitting on a rock. We say, oh, how you going? And there was just blank faces and a smile, and that was about it. So, but it is an extremely difficult mountain to climb. The actual brochures you get from the travel agent, if it was private enterprise, they'd probably sue them for it because it just doesn't point out the difficulty that you've got to face and the physical fitness to go up and back.
John, I know we talked about this before the trip, but now that you're on the way home, we're here at Adelaide Airport and you're flying back to Port Lincoln and home today, what do you now think of the adventure?
Oh, it was extremely... it's very hard to describe. Like, trying to explain somebody how difficult the climb was, I don't think they can understand how difficult it is. Because when you're just taking little dolly steps, and I mean dolly steps, and you think you're going to do it for an hour or half an hour, but you're not. Sometimes you're doing it for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours continually up this mountain, and you dare not look. Sometimes you just won't look up because it's difficult. But once you've achieved it and done it, there's a lot of pride there. Yeah, very happy with it.
When we first met a few weeks ago in Port Lincoln, you were planning this. Now that it's finished, was it a good trip?
I'm very, very glad that I did it. I don't think any one of us regretted it. Very, very strenuous. And I've got to say, it's probably the hardest and strenuous thing that I've ever done in my life, and I do not want to do it again.
Wayne, your health hasn't been all that great in recent times.
Well, as far as the general health is concerned, yes, I feel that I have. Number one, as I said before, I've given up smoking, but unfortunately, we started this program 18 months ago. December last year, I had to go through a total shoulder reconstruction due to bursitis and a bursa in there. Sort of comes through that all right. And damn of all, in March, and the knee started playing up, and I finished up having an arthroscopy on that. Fat pad was removed and also some shattered cartilage, so I finished up working on 1.5 legs.
Was it wise to do this trip?
When you pay out $7,500, mate, and you're looking for it for over 12 months, the answer is yes to that, definitely.
It was very advantageous to have the men in the group, because there were times when John particularly was very, very supportive to some of the women who were a little weaker. We must remember that it was a momentous climb, momentous. And Wayne was our backstop. He stayed at the back, keeping an eye on everybody, helping me, both he and John, supporting what I was trying to do for the group. Without their help, it would have been not impossible, but it made it a lot easier for me personally.
What about the rest of the group? How did you feel as a group?
You feel and you find the strength of each other, especially when there's only 2 miles of us. The rest of the crew were females. Not one of them actually asked for help, but John and I were there for them. And I do believe that the team bonded, and this certainly showed up at night time.
You obviously did some training for this. Was the training enough?
We were lucky that we did extra training. We did a lot of training in Dark Peak, along the Dark Peak Range and up the back of Cleve and that area. And we did a lot of rough terrain, which was nothing. The last day we spent 14 hours going up on top of the mountain. And then when we come down, they wanted to move camp, so we did another 4 hours in the dark. So, but yes, the rough terrain training, I think, was a big advantage to us. Training is very important.
What did you learn about yourself on this trip?
Well, I suppose as a grown man, you realise all of a sudden that you can cry. We got to a place called Stiller Point, which is the second highest peak, and the guide said, there's your ultimate goal up there. Admittedly, it was only another 1.5 hours of walking, 296 metres, but I would have bloody crawled up there, Tony. I would have.
Probably how determined you have to be and how you have to just hang in there. And I play a lot of hard squash. I still play squash, and I think it's a big advantage to my fitness to go up the mountain, but to compare it to the mental stress, or whatever you like to call it, to go up the mountain, it is, from now on, squash is going to be easy.
I think that we have got to become stronger advocates for our own health and well-being. And in dealing with doctors and the medical system, I think we need to put out the expectation that we are treated like everybody else, especially those that are younger than we are, so that we are getting adequate and reasonable and comprehensive medical advice and treatment that has attached to it the expectation that we'll continue to be active and healthy and meaningfully occupied individuals, irrespective of our age. So we need to advocate for ourselves. We need to be strong about that, despite the fact that we've perhaps grown up feeling that we ought to, acquiesce to the medical system or to our doctors. Not so. We need to see ourselves as some active consumers in getting the help and assistance that's needed to keep us as healthy as we can possibly be for as long as we can possibly be.
So now it's home. Chris, what's next?
What's next? Well, one of the exciting things has been that we, at the moment, have over 2,000 people that have been following us on Facebook, which has been just amazing. And the program is going to continue because I've got people who are waiting to join. I will be doing an article in the paper calling for new people to join the program. So definitely it's going to continue.
Are you glad you did it?
Absolutely. I probably will do it again because I've got people waiting to join up and perhaps do something very similar, if not Kilimanjaro.
Today in Creative Male Ageing, we've heard about the challenge taken on by an intrepid group of men and women from Port Lincoln in South Australia, getting fit enough to climb to the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. We heard from team leader Christine Jettner and from Wayne Gotch and John Payne. You also heard from psychotherapist, author and educator Dr. John Ashfield. Dr. Ashfield is also the series consultant for this Creative Male Ageing project. Our website again is creativemaleaging.com. That's creativemaleaging.com. You will also find details of this and other Learning Works projects on learningworksradio.com.au. That's learningworksradio.com.au. This Creative Male Ageing project was made possible with assistance from the Office for the Ageing, Department of Health and Ageing, the Government of South Australia. From PBAFM in Adelaide, South Australia, I'm Tony Ryan. Till next time, go well.